With 80% of sales coming from in-store purchases in 2019, according to public accounting company BDO, retailers across Canada have taken a big hit since the start of the COVID-19 lockdown. While online retailers have applied pressure to brick-and-mortar dominant stores for several years now, the last few months have proven that e-commerce is a must if they want to survive and thrive. Shopify validated this fact in May, actually, when they announced a spike in uptake in their online selling platform, comparing it only to records made on Black Friday in previous years. So, while some retailers have struggled due to the impact of the pandemic, others actually have created new channels to thrive. My two guests today will dive into the innovative strategies and operational pivots that are proving effective, including the long-term impact these shifts will have on the retail sector and the vendor who support them. We will also explore how this so-called new normal will advance and maybe actually expedite payments modernization in Canada. I'm Cyrielle Chiron, your host of The Paypod, which talks about all aspects of Canada's ambitious payments modernization mission and explores the topics that influence payments in Canada and around the world. Joining me today is Marilyn Schaeffer, CEO of Canadian payments company XTM Inc., a go-to innovator and marketer for customized payments ecosystems. XTM's goal is to disrupt traditional banking with their white-labeled mobile wallet, branded Visa and MasterCard solutions, and refined platform. Earlier in her career, Marilyn launched the Angry Birds prepaid Visa card in Canada, was appointed Chief Marketing Officer of Paymobile, and was a Senior Marketing Advisor for Payfair MasterCard, all while working at XTM. Also joining us today is Wendy McKinnon, CEO and founder of Digital Retail Apps and a founding member of Paytex of Canada. Having successfully launched multiple online and mobile shopping platforms, Wendy's understanding of what consumers want from their modern-day shopping experience allows her to guide other organizations and provide Canadians with the best possible payments experience. Thank you both for joining me today on The Paypod.
Thanks for having us. It's great to be here.
Yes, it is.
Great. So let's talk retail. And both of you have great experience working with retail businesses in Canada with exceptional insights, I believe, like as I mentioned in your bio before, like very tremendous bios about how payments, you know, play a role in their businesses. So to start the discussion, I think it would be great if both of you share a little bit about the companies you have started and your experience so far. So why don't we start with you, Wendy?
Sure. So this is, hi, it's great to be on today. It's Wendy McKinnon, and I founded a company called Digital Retail Apps, and we created a retail shopping platform called Self-Pay, which is a way to shop and pay in-app in any physical retail store. I was also one of the founding members of the industry association, the Paytex of Canada, to give a voice to all the various and new, emerging, exciting new paytech companies who are competing in the new evolving payments landscape.
Great. And Marilyn, can you tell us a little bit about your company?
Sure. Yeah, I have a background in agency and marketing, and a dream of mine was always to be able to market and sell basically my own product. So when I had an opportunity to jump into the payment space, I did, and we made an acquisition of a platform that had been built by the major telcos, a wireless mobile wallet that brought us into the space as a contender. And now, as the CEO of XTM, we run a very sophisticated payment platform that eliminates cash from a lot of retail environments, including hospitality and personal care services like salons and barbershops and food delivery entities. So, I'm certainly very interested in our topic today about cashless environments and have lots of thoughts on that. Thanks for having me.
Oh, great. This is excellent. I know you both have so much experience and clearly, you know, a lot of insights to offer to us today. So let's go into it. So can you share your views on what the overall impact of the pandemic has been to the retail businesses in terms of how they conduct their businesses and how they had to adapt. So why don't we start with you, Marilyn, first?
So I think that what has happened today with the pandemic, you know, I always say two things move people in business. It's fear and greed. And if you can kind of break it all down to those two emotions, you can find a way to you know, get at the heart of the matter, if you will. And so I think before COVID, you know, the cash was definitely becoming less favorable way of transacting. When COVID struck, fear sort of was implanted into everyone. And it's been the elimination of cash has been accelerated from ecosystems like never before. Just as an example, a reflection of that, our company has grown 550% in the last 3 months. So obviously there's a real push to make that happen. And I think that feels very self-serving for me to say that. And of course I'm happy that the company has grown, and I'm not happy about COVID. But I will say that I think the innovation that the retail industry has shown and their ability to pivot is outstanding. What a group of survivors. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. not everyone will make it, but there's been a lot of incredible innovation and survival mode that's come into play, and it's super impressive.
Yeah, no, that's true. A lot of innovations are appearing and keeping growing. I agree with that. Wendy, do you have any views on this?
I feel like what I've seen is there's really been this acceleration of a shift, not only to like cashless retail transactions, mm-hmm. but also to contact free or contactless, you know, shopping, both obviously with a huge surge in a shift to online shopping, but also within the physical store. And it's really been a combination of the personal mobile device, our smartphones we carry around with us, enabling this change, and the mm-hmm. pandemic accelerating this change in terms of being able to get the ability to have more contactless or contact-free interactions, in particular in the physical world, because it's going to save you not only the need to have physical contact, you know, with a payment terminal, with an employee as often as you may wish to reduce that, but also the benefits from before, which were to have any kind of contact free or contactless payment, was going to also save you time as a shopper and reduce the friction during the checkout. And this has just been amplified by the pandemic with an overall desire to spend less time in a physical store and have less interaction within the physical store. And so you start to see a much more wide variety of these different kinds of contact-free retail, you know, whether it's the shift to online, there's more delivery options, there's mm-hmm. click and collect, there's also the mobile self-checkout, the checkout with me, video shopping. I mean, there's just been a surge in a whole new set of ways to interact. It's really almost a hybrid between online and in-store.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I didn't know you could do it with video. That's new to me. Well, that's interesting. That's great. But talking about all those different examples, what have you, you know, what has been some of the most impressive example of ingenuity by retailers during this global health pandemic? What have you seen? Maybe we can start with you, Marilyn. Have you seen anything that really stood up? So the video was the one thing that Mandy mentioned. Is there anything else?
When I talk about resilience, it's not necessarily disruptive innovation in terms of technology, but it's just a way to change human behavior. That's what I've found most impressive. Mm. And Wendy, I really agree with you about the hybrid, even from just using myself as a use case. You know, I'm a very tactile person. I like to touch things. I like to feel them. I like to see them. That's just not possible. So, you know, there's a mixture. You know, do some online, and then maybe you go somewhere to actually physically see something if it's a bigger purchase. It's a mixture of layers that enable you to make a buying decision that maybe you would have done on impulse before in a big box store or, you know, at a fashion store or something like that. So I think it's human behavior that has been particularly interesting, the way we've rallied and how we've reacted. And, you know, are we going to stop shopping? No, people will always continue to buy. It's how they buy and the precautions they take to be able to get there. Even if it's a, you know, if it's a designer mask, that's a necessity when you go into a public place. People are making that their own after they got through the initial curve of, this isn't a choice, you're going to have to do this. All right, well, how can I make this my own? And so payments is one of those ways too. Some people have, you know, are just all about cash, and that's just not a possibility anymore. So, you know, figure out a way to, you know, to make that happen, to make your purchase happen without cash. So, yeah, no, it's human behavior that I think has been particularly interesting through this very, very quick change that we've had to react to.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's the fact that a lot of people reacted very fast, and how resilient, as you mentioned, we are, and quickly to adapt, that's been very impressive for me too. Even a lot of retailers or restaurants, you know, didn't necessarily have a digital presence, and they had to, you know, suddenly go on Uber Eats or something like that. So it's pretty impressive on how we are quick to react. Wendy, do you have maybe any other specific strategies or tactics that you identified that could be critical for success for a retailer?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I have, there's a couple of examples in Canada, and this trend is a little bit more pronounced in the US. So I just want to bring in some of those examples as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And this is in this area of mobile self-checkout. So at one of the Walmart locations in the St. Clair sort of stockyards location, and one of them, there's several others, but one of the locations of Loblaws, also near on St. Clair, but this time near Bathurst, there have some trials going on for various forms of mobile self-checkout, where the idea is the shopper uses their own personal mobile device. They enter the store, they scan the price tag or the barcode of the item, they add it to their own personal mobile cart, their digital cart, at the same time they're adding it to their physical cart, so completely independently shopping at this point. Mm-hmm. And then when it's time to pay, you would just pay an app with whichever, you know, mobile payment method you would like to use, a mobile wallet, it could be Apple Pay, it could be a credit card, whatever that you would have on file. And then as you're leaving the store, there's a mobile digital receipt exchange between the individual shopper and the merchant, so that you're then marked, that transaction is then finally being complete and you exit the store, all without having really any interaction except for that quick, like, sort of digital receipt exchange at the end. And in the United States, you're seeing, I think Sam's Club since 2016 has done this and offered this sort of chain-wide to more than 600 of their locations. In the last 12 months, Dollar General, which is sort of similar to our Dollarama here in Canada, has it in more than 700 locations. 7-Eleven in the U.S. has it in several hundred locations, and they're growing. And there's, I can't name how many other retailers are doing it. There's just so many. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really significant change. And there was some recent press that showed Sam's Club as an example. I think before the pandemic, somewhere maybe 10 to 15% of all of their transactions were going through this mobile self-checkout platform, and their executives have talked that it has more than doubled, which, if that's true, that would mean 20 to 30% of transactions, which is really spectacular in terms of a shift as a result of the pandemic, because again, you've got the combination of the time savings and the ability to do everything on your personal mobile device, and obviously the contact-free, which is a huge trend. And following with Walmart in Canada, they just announced a huge, more than $3 billion capital investment program, where they're going to be also expanding their, what they call Checkout With Me, which has also been quite successful in the US, where an individual sales associate will be able to, you know, prepare your order in the aisle and, you know, add all your items to your cart on the, you know, the staff, device, and then you can have a contact-free, you know, tap and go on your payment method, And I think that this has really been some really significant changes in really a relatively short period of time. Just two other quick examples. So there's been a huge uptick. We've all seen in click and collect across, I mean, certainly yeah. started very strongly with grocery, the supply and availability. I mean, in the beginning of the pandemic, there was, you know, you were having to wait 2 weeks or something. And now, of course, it's gotten much less with more expansion of the capability in the stores, but also with a large number of additional players coming into the game to do delivery. So, of course, you see a huge increase of Instacart in Canada servicing, you know, Walmart and many other yeah. locations. You have Voila by Sobeys. You have a new company called Corner Shop app, which recently came into Canada in the US. And this is similar to like an Instacart style, where it's the sort of personal delivery. And that's a company that was recently acquired by Uber for, I think, more than $500 million. So this is, there's just, it's trying to keep up in this space is quite exciting, because these are just the examples that, you know, that come to mind of all the different kinds of contactless or, you know, or contact-free options that are coming into the marketplace.
Yeah, it really accelerated, you know, all the potential that those, you know, I would say small company startup, you know, could bring to the table. Also those big retailers that you mentioned, to actually innovate, to, I would not say to stay relevant, but to make sure to keep up with the situation, right? Otherwise, people would just not come because they're just too scared of this yes. contact. I'm actually very impressed with all the example you mentioned. That's pretty impressive. Actually, I'd like to stay with you for a bit, Wendy. You talked about before, you know, that e-commerce, you know, we were talking about, as you said, everything stopped to move digital, but some retailers rely heavily on in-store customer service, like, you know, big box outlet stores move their entire business online. And you, you know, mentioned a couple of examples of how, you know, they can deal with that. But there also some of them focus on delivery, on curbside pickup as well. But as the economy opens up, right, they had to make some room in their stores for shoppers again. What successful measures have you seen organizations take in order to help provide customers with the shopping experience of their choice? So I know you just mentioned a couple of examples, but is there anything that you could share in that when people go back in the stores?
Yes. Well, I think one of the things that shoppers are going to start to see is certainly to have some of these additional options that I was just describing, of the checkout with me or the mobile self-checkout and so on. But there's a couple of others I think that retailers will start to offer as well. And we see there's almost a resurgence in the previously maligned QR code, where there's options for shoppers to use a QR code that represents their method of payment, to not even necessarily have to come anywhere close to a payment terminal. They can just display a QR code that represents their payment method and only sends, you know, a tokenized version of their payment method to the retailer, so that there's literally no physical touching whatsoever of a payment device or a point of sale device. So that's something I think that's going to also grow. And I'll just give you another sort of further example of the video shopping, which again, it's one of those kind of hybrid, where there's a company, a great Canadian company called Tulip Retail, and they recently announced a new part of their platform where they're able to establish a direct video link between an individual shopper and a physical store, where they can, the associate in the physical store is going to show them all the items and so on, and they can just buy and pay online, but they're still like physically walking through, the associate's physically walking through the store while the shopper is walking through their, you know, seeing it online on the screen, which is kind of just an interesting option for that. I think one of the things we're also going to see in the fall, which is coming very soon, is Apple has recently announced this concept called an app clip. And I think that this is something that didn't get a huge amount of airtime at the June Worldwide Developer Conference, but I really believe it's a game-changing offering, where any merchant, any physical retailer. Now that could be like a hair salon, it could be a shoe store, it could be any kind of merchant would offer. It's like a digital code on the front of their door, if you will, using just the camera on your iPhone. You would scan that, and you would not need to download an individual mobile app, whether it's a platform app or an individual retailer's app. You would just scan this code. You don't need to sign in. You don't need to create an account. You don't need to add a payment method, because it's going to rely on your phone.
Your Apple Pay, or
it's going to rely on Apple Pay to fund the payment and so on. So what this becomes, and then you could, of course, you could enable this as an example. You could enable the scan and go option, where again you would scan this little code in the front of the store. You walk in the store. You scan the items you want to buy. You pay an app with Apple Pay, and of course you could still have this concept of the digital receipt exchange, and off you go. And you could do that. That has taken away a significant amount of friction for a lot of people. I think they're hesitant to download a whole new mobile app, to think, well, am I really going to see the benefit here? Maybe I just want to try it out before I commit, you know, to downloading and creating an account and adding payment methods and so on. And this is something that's going to be available sometime between September, October, when the iOS 14 comes out. And again, you could have it just for whether you're paying a service provider like a hair salon or, you know, any type of physical store. It's going to be extremely easy to create these kinds of app clips. And I think it's going to take away that kind of concern about, well, how, you know, do I have to do all these steps to just try out this entirely, you know, contact-free means of shopping.
Yeah, and if every single retailer has their own app, you don't want to end up with hundreds of app on your your device, right? So that's what's the name of it? What did you say? The name of the Apple?
So iOS goes through various upgrades here and there, and the next big one is iOS 14. And it's coming out in the fall, so sometime September, October timeframe. And the name of this new capability, it's called an app clip. And it has sort of like a QR code. It's just a digital image that would be unique to that particular merchant and that particular merchant's location, that would enable you to try out this new mode of shopping and paying completely contact-free without having to download an app.
Yeah, that's very interesting, and that's really going to push QR codes, right? I didn't know that either. So that's good. That's a lot of new examples that you're sharing. Marilyn, is there any ideas or any things that you would share as well, and see what would be some successful measures organization can take in order to provide a kind of similar shopping experience?
Sure. And, you know, I come at it more from the staff perspective, and there's a couple of industries out that still use cash or were still using cash as the main part of their ecosystem. And that was the hospitality in terms of gratuities, and also the personal care services. And, you know, it's amazing to us. We go in and have dinner. Well, at least we used to go in and have dinner and put our credit card down to pay our bill. And those restaurants typically would have gone at the end of a shift or maybe twice a week to the bank, withdrawn cash, and paid out the servers their gratuities in an envelope with cash. And you know, we launched late last year, and we were definitely getting some traction. But just some of these stats, like, for example, the germs that are carried on a paper money are reportedly more germs than a household toilet. And that in studying the bacteria on paper currency, it's reported that they can transmit a flu virus, and these viruses can sit on that note for up to 17 days. So where we were having a bit of friction, like the store owners loved a cashless solution. It took so much pressure off of their operations staff. The staff kind of, you know, millennial, they kind of liked that wad of cash in an envelope. Now it's just a no-brainer. Nobody wants cash. So of course the solution is to provide a digital ecosystem for them, which we're doing and others are doing, but the time is right for that. So we've seen at least those two industries. The other is major event stadiums. We just signed MLSE. They're completely replacing cash in their stadium to the point where if you walk into a game or a concert and you have cash, they don't want to turn you away because you're a paying customer. We're installing reverse ATMs. So you insert your cash into the ATM and it spits out a card, and a chip and pin in the card. So cash is definitely not in favor these days, and people are looking for any way possible to replace it in the ecosystem.
So that's a good point, right? When you said nobody wants cash and they are looking to replace. So when everything is going to reopen, do you foresee, you know, that this trend to still stay, you know, or and, you know, businesses to pivot entirely to make sure they still accommodate more contactless payments? Or do you still see, you know, going back into having maybe like taking cash back again?
Yeah, I would say that it's gone forever. I actually think our lives have changed forever, at least the generation that is the generations that have seen this pandemic. I think cash is antiquated, and it really is yesterday, and it was yesterday last year. This year, it's so yesterday. So I think I don't see it coming back into our process, into our day to day, like it was ever. And with the millennials driving the economy as they get older and more buying power, they never used cash. Cash is just not part of their, and I'm using air quotes, currency.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Wendy, do you have any views on that, on the future of cash?
I would 100% agree with Marilyn. This is a sea change. And in this case, the tide's not going back out. Because what's happened is there's been more consumers that have, and businesses that have had the positive experiences of working in a cashless or cash-free scenario, because it gives you so many more benefits. I mean, not only is it more healthy? It's mm-hmm. faster.
Well, apparently, like so many germs.
Yes, it saves you time. It's more convenient. You know, there may have just been, you know, a lot of people that were, well, I'll try that next week or next month. But the great difficulty we've all experienced in this pandemic, I think it's really given rise to people thinking, well, this is maybe the time to try something like this to see how it can improve my life and make me feel better about my transaction and certainly give me the confidence and to feel more trusting of these kinds of interactions if I don't have to, you know, handle, you know, what's really dirty cash or, you know, touch these payment terminals and so on. So I think this is something that we're not going back. I think we've just seen this, a compression of the change happen in just a couple of months, which most of the business plans would have had happen in over the next, you know, 2 to 3 years. I think that's something that is definitely here to stay at this pretty accelerated rate.
Yeah, it just make it just faster, as you said. It was on their roadmap, it just accelerated the trend.
Yes.
It kind of forced retailer to say, hey, now it's the time. Otherwise, you're just not going to have a lot of customers. I'd like to stick with you, Wendy, and I'd like to talk about, you know, the Retail Council of Canada. They recently released their Road to Recovery playbook for Canadian retailers. And again, just for the listeners, the paper is available on their website, and it's retailcouncil.org. And they listed, you know, limited interaction during checkout and payments as one of the four key priorities. Do you have any recommendations for how retailers or other businesses can encourage this as they begin to reopen?
Sure, absolutely. So I think one of the sort of touch points for most retailers and merchants to think about is to offer options, you know, to not just have one way to check out, to give your customers an opportunity to try something different that's going to give them these benefits of whether it's checkout with me in the form of like a Tulip Retail or other platforms which provide an associate-led checkout experience where you're not having to wait in line to pay. You're able to just tap your phone against their device and so on, or whether it's with the mobile shopper self-checkout or whether it's by creating a QR code to form a mobile wallet so that, you know, again, you don't have to interact with a payment terminal. In all of these cases, I think you need to have at least two options. One, maybe, you know, you can keep the traditional going for some time as people are easing over to a new platform, but being able to offer a second or possibly a third option, I think that we have to be recognized that different people will still be, even throughout this period, there'll be different people that have different comfort levels with how quickly they're going to shift over. They may want to be able to try it out first. And so being able to give lots of signage, lots of instructions, some incentive to try some of these new, more contact-free methods, I think is something that's going to help a lot of these retailers. And certainly, I would say historically, Canada has been rather behind if you compare to the United States, Europe, UK, Asia with some of these mobile payment methods. And there's certainly been, you know, a thought that they need to start to do this. But now with the effects of the pandemic and the rising, you know, shopper expectations for having contact-free options, I think we're going to see a lot of these retailers starting to invest and actually roll out on a broader scale many of these new kinds of options.
Yeah, no, I think, and as you mentioned, Marilyn, you know, with all the millennials growing older and getting more purchase power, they will definitely drive these trends. And I like that you both mentioned, like, not only contactless, but contact-free. So we're really moving to actually have no contact at all. So that's pretty interesting. I'd like to talk about a recent article that Forbes released, and it discussed the impact that moving towards so contactless payments, or maybe, you know, contact-free payments, may have on the trust between retailers and consumers. So, for example, mobile scan and go shopping, or all the different type of examples that both of you mentioned, might feel, you know, safe for some people, but it can be, you know, a little bit too strange for others. While the mere idea of setting, you know, a foot inside a physical store, you know, at all could be really, you know, a deal breaker for others. And I know we talked about having the choice, we talked about, you know, some trends, but I'd like to discuss a little bit that topic a little bit further. So I have a long question here, actually. So first would be, how do you recommend businesses deal with these new realities? I know we touched on a little bit on that already, having the choice, but also in what ways can the payments ecosystem help alleviate these concerns so that every retailer and shopper can decide for themselves what works best for them and neither, you know, ends up pushed too far out of their comfort zone?
Well, you know, there's an 80-20 rule, right? You can't please all of the people all of the time. So I think that as this shift emerges, there will be some, probably an older generation that is not comfortable at all with a digital payment ecosystem, but certainly it's happening. And so, you know, the movement is there and you need to get on board. In terms of businesses and dealing with these new realities, I think it's imperative that as an entrepreneur, you look at the options and you look at the possibilities and, you know, don't try and reinvent the wheel. Shopify is a great example of how e-commerce, you know, you can go and reinvent that for yourself every time you build an e-com site, or you can do a plugin. And Wendy's company is another example of that. That makes sense. It makes sense to leave the R&D and the development up to the experts. There will be, you know, two or three winners will emerge. Pick one of those as your technology of choice and go with it. One of the approaches we're taking on our side, which is more a B2B play because we're on the staff side, is we're not exploiting this as an opportunity to generate huge revenue. We're actually offering our service free. It's free to store owners, to restaurants, to personal care services. Our revenue comes from the interchange, which is the fee the merchant already has to pay to one of the networks, MasterCard, Visa, American Express, whatever the case is. In our case, MasterCard, we split the interchange with them. And that's how we make money. So it's low friction. It's easy. We do all the setup. And I would look for something like that. I think that tells you a couple things as an entrepreneur or a retailer, is that the vendor you're working with is in for the long haul. They're not looking for a quick and, you know, dirty type of deal where they can get a bunch of upfront money and then not support you in the long run. You definitely want to do a deal with a company that's going to be around for a while. And you want to make sure that it meets all the requirements, and you might have different requirements than the next person. So whatever fits your requirements, do your homework and then choose one of the top three, and that's just the way it's going to be. And I think from a consumer perspective, you're just going to have to get on with the program, and we're going to have to help our parents. My kids are going to have to help me. They do on certain things where I stumble online and that kind of thing. But we'll all get through it together. That's my feeling.
No, that's a good point. And I'd like to have your view, Wendy, as well. But I'd like to add something else then. As was you mentioned, Marilyn, how do you educate yourself? Because all of this is education.
Yes. Well, what I have noticed is that I think, you know, even before the spring, when all these changes were upon us, there was already then, I would say, an incredible amount of change, both in terms of the different kinds of mobile wallets and mobile payments and new companies entering the space and with new port modernization and so on. These were already in place, and so it's really just been now, I would say, an acceleration also of the trends and the companies and the changes that have taken place. And I find it's difficult to keep up with, but I think it's something that's really important, because all of these new offerings are leading really in the same kind of general direction, which is to offer, you know, both a combination of a cash-free, but also a much more convenient way of paying in physical retail for our goods and services. And so I think one of the things also that's important for all of the participants in this marketplace is in fact B2B, but also consumer education around the fact that it's actually much more secure to pay in-app or to pay with using a tokenized method of payment rather than our old fashioned kind of plastic cards, either tapping even or inserting into a point of sale machine. I think that there is some consumer education that needs to increase and improve, so that's going to help with a concern about, is this really a safe method of payment? And what about my privacy? Well, it's actually much safer and protects your privacy much better if you're using, you know, a tokenized method of digital payment through a mobile wallet or a mobile app. I think something else that's really on the backs of the retailers themselves too is to provide, you know, whether it's guided trial in store as they're making this transition, and or just it's all back to the user interface and the user experience to make that digital experience as intuitive, as simple, and as easy as possible to try it out, so that there's not a lot of friction involved in being able to try out one of these new methods and then sticking with it. And it's this is a payments changes, I would say, fast and slow. You know, it's obviously an industry that's been around for literally hundreds of years, more thousands even. But we have this, you know, this sort of step change now, where I think you have a moment in time where more people are more open to try new things if it's going to, again, make them feel more healthy, more safe, more secure, but also, you know, again, save them time and be much more effective and let the the amount of time that you are spending in a physical retail store being spent on the more pleasurable aspects of shopping, you know, even in this situation that we're in, where you can at least have the, you know, the touch and feel, and you can see what it is that you're actually wanting to purchase, as opposed to spending all the time worrying about waiting in line and, you know, exchange of cash and this sort of thing. That clearly is not in our future.
Yeah, it's the waiting in line for me. It's just like drive me insane. Actually, you have a good point talking about changing payment being fast and slow. I'd just like to close off the episode asking about the changing payments methods. And obviously, I cannot not talk about payments modernization. So I'd like to have your view, both of you, of how do you think, so all the changes in payments method that you've just mentioned, and some retailers are going through, for some it's more painful than other, and the shift to cashless, cash-free, contactless, contact-free. How do you think this may expedite payments modernization in Canada?
So I feel very strongly about this because it's very much, you know, obviously the company that I founded, but also the Paytex Association of Canada that I helped to found, which is really trying to advocate to all the market participants, including the regulators and the banks and all of the various participants and merchants and card associations, everyone that plays in this marketplace, to accelerate this move toward, you know, open banking and payments modernization, because we clearly have consumer interests and consumer expectations, I think, have changed forever. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is not something that can stay at the same pace as it was before the spring. It's something that really, because of the consumer expectations and frankly needs for health and speed and security purposes, to have this move forward at a much more rapid clip than what was the pace up to now. It's then the regulators as well as all the market participants, I think, will clearly see just from the results of how shoppers are wanting to pay differently as a result of COVID, and but also from these other benefits, of course, that they're getting. So I think that it should, I hope, put additional positive pressure on all the participants to move payments modernization forward, but a little bit more quickly.
Yeah. What about you, Marilyn? Is there anything you'd like to add on this?
I would just say to our very strong entrepreneurial spirit here in Canada, we've got restaurateurs, I'll speak to them, and to, you know, personal care services folks and food delivery. Yes, your world has changed forever, and it changed overnight. And it's daunting, and my heart goes out to these folks who you know, may have had years and years and years of their own money tied up in these dreams. But once you get the big blocks into place, so, you know, yes, everyone has to wear masks, and yes, social distancing is here to stay for the infinite future. And payments is another big block. How to avoid any friction in the payment space. Once all of these are in place, and they are, everyone's getting this together very, very quickly. Let's go back to the art of, you know, cooking and serving and having fun and enjoying a glass of wine together. I hope that these things will just become the tools to enable us to go back to some semblance of the life that we lived before. And again, payments being a big part of it. And the rails exist. It's simple to implement and to get on board. It's really just the human behavior and the human expectations that need to change. And once that's done, we can go back to something similar to what we lived before March 2020.
That was inspiring. That's all we have for today. As always, I have so many other questions, and I really do. Thank you both for your time and definitely your incredible insight and expertise. I didn't know we had so many innovations and, different startups that were launching so many things. That was very insightful. So thank you for your time.
Our pleasure.
Thank you very much.
As the economy begins to open up more and more, retailers are beginning to show signs of life and bouncing back. And as retailers begin to open their doors again, it's clear that sentiments around traditional means of payments have changed for good. Being able to learn from those who have had success in shifting, as well as those who have suffered, offers crucial learnings for Canadian retailers. It's also an opportunity for the payments ecosystem in Canada to demonstrate the importance of modernizing systems and work to ensure retailers and business owners have the payments method they need to keep up with consumer demand. The need for modernized payment systems for all businesses, including retailers, has officially fast-tracked and there is no turning back now. I'd like to once again thank both Marilyn Schaeffer and Wendy McKinnon for speaking with us today. As always, the paper is available for download on your favorite podcast app or payments.ca. Join the conversation online using hashtag modernpayments and stay tuned as we continue to explore the changing world of payments. Thank you for tuning in.